The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network. www.theflypod.com.
Welcome to Memorable Moments in History. It was this week, back on February the 21st, 1972, that President Richard Nixon arrived in China for his historic meeting with Chairman Mao Zedong and Premier Zhou Enlai. Also on that date, in 1994, CIA agent Aldrich Ames was arrested on charges he spied for the Soviet Union from 1985 to 1991. And it was on the 22nd of February, 1956, in Montgomery, Alabama, that 80 participants in the three-month-old bus boycott finally gave themselves up for arrest after an ultimatum from white city leaders. Martin Luther King and Rosa Parks were among those arrested. Later in 1956, the U.S. Supreme Court mandated desegregation of the buses. It's the birthday of George Washington in 1732, he died in 1799, was born in Westmoreland County, Virginia. He served as commander of the Continental Army during the American Revolution and, as you well know, became the first U.S. president. And it was on the 23rd of February, 1942, that the first attack on the U.S. mainland occurred as Japanese submarine shelled an oil refinery near Santa Barbara, California, causing minor damage. For those of you who remember the name Operation Desert Storm, well, that began this week in 1991. As Allied ground offensive began after a devastating month-long air campaign targeting Iraqi troops in Iraq and Kuwait. It's the birthday of the American educator and leader W.E.B. Du Bois. In 1868, he died in 1963 and was born in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. It's also the birthday of the historian William L. Shire. In 1904, he was born, and 1993 is when he died. As a news reporter stationed in Europe, he witnessed the rise of Adolf Hitler, reported on the surrender of France. Following the war, he compiled the first major history of Nazi Germany, the rise and fall of the Third Reich. Now for the first clue to this week's Memorable Moments Memory Buster. It was on February the 24th, 1988, that the U.S. Supreme Court upheld the right of citizens to satirize public figures. Think about it for a little while, and I might give you another clue before I give you the answer at the end of the program. It was also on the 24th of February, 1582, that Pope Gregory XIII corrected mistakes on the Julian calendar by dropping 10 days and directing that the day after October 4th, 1582, would be October the 15th. The Gregorian or New Style calendar was then adopted by Catholic countries, followed gradually by Protestant and other nations. It was on that same date in 1867 that the House of Representatives voted to impeach President Andrew Johnson. The vote followed bitter opposition by the radical Republicans in Congress to Johnson's Reconstruction policies of the South. However, the effort to remove him failed in the Senate by just one vote. It's also the birthday of Admiral Chester Nimitz in 1885. He died in 1966 and was born in Fredericksburg, Texas. He commanded Allied naval, land, and air forces in the South Pacific during World War II and signed the Japanese surrender document on September the 2nd, 1945. February the 25th marks the birthday of Millicent Fenwick in 1910. She died in 1992 and was born in New York City. She championed liberal causes, serving as member of the UN General Assembly and as a U.S. Congresswoman. The following day, February the 26th, but in 1848, the Communist Manifesto pamphlet was published by two young socialists, Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels, advocating the abolition of all private property in a system in which workers own all the means of production, land, factories, and machinery. On that date in 1994, though, political foes of Russian President Boris Yeltsin were freed by a general amnesty granted by the new Russian parliament. And it's the birthday of the American frontiersman Buffalo Bill Cody in 1846. He died in 1917 and was born in Scott County, Indiana. He claimed to have killed over 4,000 buffalo within 17 months, and he became world famous through his Wild West show, which traveled throughout the United States and Europe for 30 years. All right, I'm in a good mood, so I'll give you one more clue to this week's Memorable Moments Memory Buster. It was on February the 24th, 1988, that the U.S. Supreme Court upheld the right of citizens to satirize public figures. The case involved Jerry Falwell. Still don't know? Well, you'll have to wait till the end of the program, and I'll give you the answer. It was on February the 27th, 1950, that the 22nd Amendment to the U.S. Constitution was ratified. It limited the president to two terms, or a maximum of 10 years in office. Also on that date, February the 27th, 1991, in Operation Desert Storm, which I spoke of a few moments ago, the 100-hour ground war ended as Allied troops entered Kuwait just 4 days after launching their offensive against Iraqi forces. It's the birthday of the American poet Henry Wadsworth Longfellow in 1807. He died in 1882 and was born in Portland, Maine. He's best known for Paul Revere's Ride, The Song of Hiawatha, and The Wreck of the Hesperus. It was on February the 21st, 1965, in New York City, that Malcolm X, an African-American nationalist and religious leader, was assassinated by rival black Muslims while addressing his organization of Afro-American Unity at the Audubon Ballroom in Washington Heights. Born Malcolm Little in Omaha, Nebraska in 1925, Malcolm was the son of James Earl Little, a Baptist preacher who advocated the black nationalist ideals of Barkus Garvey. Threats from the Ku Klux Klan forced the family to move to Lansing, Michigan, where his father continued to preach his controversial sermons despite continuing threats. In 1931, Malcolm's father was brutally murdered by the white supremacist Black Legion, and Michigan authorities refused to prosecute those responsible. In 1937, Malcolm was taken from his family by welfare caseworkers. By the time he reached high school age, he dropped out of school and moved to Boston, where he became increasingly involved in criminal activities. In 1946, at the age of 21, Malcolm was sent to prison on a burglary conviction. It was there he encountered the teachings of Elijah Muhammad, the leader of the Nation of Islam, whose members are popularly known as Black Muslims. The Nation of Islam advocated black nationalism and racial separation and condemned Americans of European descent as immoral devils. Muhammad's teachings had a strong effect on Malcolm, who entered into an intense program of self-education and took the last name, X, to symbolize his stolen African identity. After 6 years, Malcolm was released from prison and became a loyal and effective minister of the Nation of Islam in Harlem. In contrast with civil rights leaders such as Martin Luther King Jr., Malcolm X advocated self-defense and the liberation of African Americans by any means necessary. A fiery orator, Malcolm was admired by the African American community of New York and around the country. In the early 1960s, he began to develop a more outspoken philosophy than that of Elijah Muhammad, who he felt did not sufficiently support the civil rights movement. In late 1963, Malcolm's suggestion that President John F. Kennedy's assassination was a matter of the chickens coming home to roost provided Elijah Muhammad, who believed that Malcolm had become too powerful, with a convenient opportunity to suspend him from the Nation of Islam. A few months later, Malcolm formally left the organization and made a Muslim pilgrimage to Mecca, where he was profoundly affected by the lack of racial discord among Orthodox Muslims. He returned to America as El-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz and in June 1964 founded the Organization of Afro-American Unity, which advocated black identity and held that racism, not the white race, was the greatest foe of the African-American. Malcolm's new movement steadily gained followers, and his more moderate philosophy became increasingly influential in the civil rights movement, especially among the leaders of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. On February the 21st, 1965, 1 week after his home was firebombed, Malcolm X was shot to death by Nation of Islam members while speaking at a rally of his organization in New York City. Now for the answer to this week's Memorable Moments Memory Buster. This February the 24th, 1988 Supreme Court decision held the right to satirize public figures. The case involved Jerry Falwell. Well, it was on February the 24th, 1988, that the U.S. Supreme Court voted 8-0 to overturn the $200,000 settlement awarded to the Reverend Jerry Falwell for his emotional distress at being parodied in Hustler, a pornographic magazine. In 1983, Hustler ran a piece parodying Falwell's first sexual experience as a drunken, incestuous childhood encounter with his mother in an outhouse. Falwell, an important religious conservative and founder of the Moral Majority Political Advocacy Group, sued Hustler and its publisher, Larry Flint, for libel. Falwell won the case, but Flint appealed, leading to the Supreme Court's hearing the case because of its constitutional implications. In February 1988, the Supreme Court unanimously overturned the lower court's decision, ruling that, although in poor taste, Hustler's parody fell within the First Amendment's protection of freedom of speech and the press. Before I go, I'm going to leave you with this Memorable Moments Mystifying Mind Boggler. Have you ever watched a figure skater go into what would seem a dizzying spin, commonly referred to as a death spiral, and wondered how is it that they never seem to get dizzy, lose their balance, and fall? Well, if you don't know, I'll give you to next week to figure it out. I'll leave you today with this quote from Nick Job. I was quite enjoying the power of positive thinking until I heard that the author had committed suicide. This has been Stephen J. Lowenstein reading to you. Thanks for listening here on theflypod.com. Join me next week for another edition of Memorable Moments in History.